Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today we're talking about business coaching and how it can help an existing business become successful. One of the things that we need to be aware of in today's marketplace is very competitive. And unless the owner of the company and all his employees are on the same page and they all have the same goals, then guess what? There will be miscommunication, and when you are in a down economy as we are in today, then you need to look at ways that you can make sure that when you have a small business or even a large business, that everyone is on the same page, everyone knows what is going on, and that everything is working together, because when it doesn't, then it's easier for conflicts to happen in the company, and it's easier to have problems in a company. So one of the things we want to do is discuss how business coaching today can help a business get from where they are to where they want to be and do it in a way that will build success for the company. And one of the things that I need to go back and make you aware of is you have to be aware of how communication is important in the business. And that means that you have to be aware of where the conflicts are, how to communicate in a way that can really help the business grow and really expand in a way that can help you grow your business so that it will expand in a way that can really help everyone get on the right page, everyone do exactly what they need to do to put the business in the right place. And think about it this way. What if you had the opportunity to use assessment profiles that can really help you put your business in the right place and get it in an opportunity so that everyone is on the same page? Everyone understands how they communicate in a way that can really help you and do everything in a way that can really emphasize the importance of having a successful business. And one of the things that I use is the DISC, and the DISC is the D-I-S-N-C, and it provides a relevancy because it demonstrates quality and competency. It's designed for helping you improve customer relations. It also helps you understand where your communication stands, how to improve it, where the downfall is, and how to take it and move it to the next level. Because think about it this way. The D is the dominant personality style. That's someone that feels that they can control their environment. They control everything. They have to have the total control, and everything has to be done the way they expect it to be done. And it's very difficult for them to learn to adapt to other people's styles unless they really understand where they're coming from, what's their natural behavioral style, how they can take it from where they are to where they want to be, and how they can take it and put it in a way that helps them really deal with things in a better way. For instance, the dominant behavior pattern is someone who's very direct and decisive. These are strong-willed, strong-minded people who like accepting challenges, taking action, and getting immediate results. Remember, immediate results, they want to see it today. And if you are not someone that likes to do things at the same pace that they do, then that's going to create a lot of conflict for them. So you need to look for ways that you can do things that can really help you understand where your communication is, how you can take it and put it into a way that will help you understand what your natural behavioral style is and how you communicate in a way that can really help you get to the next level. The next thing that we're going to talk about is the fact that the influencing behavioral style is someone who's very optimistic and outgoing. Eyes are people. That is, they can go up to someone that may be a stranger and they can really talk to them. They can help. No one is a stranger to them. They are people that feel most comfortable in an environment where they're out partying all the time. They're out doing things that can really help them get to the next level as far as talking their way into a job or whatever it is that they want. And the steadiness profile is someone who's very sympathetic and cooperative. S's are helpful people who like working behind the scenes, performing in consistent and predictable ways, and being good listeners. The conscientiousness profile is someone who's very concerned and correct, and that's the biggest thing, is they always have to be correct, so they're always slow to decision-making. C's are sticklers for quality and like planning ahead, employing systematic approaches, and checking and rechecking for accuracy. And what you want to be able to do when you understand how to use these is to bring out the best in the management team, to help them understand your behavior as well as their own behavior, to help everyone needs to learn when and how to adapt their behavior, improve communication skills, promote appreciation of differences, enhance individual and team performance, reduce conflict. And the reason that I'm going into this very quickly is to show you how business coaching is not just going, part of what business coaching is it's been around for years, but it's never really called business or corporate coaching until the last few years. But usually what a business coach would do is they would go in, they would kind of interview the employees to find out where the issues were, because they tended to know what was going on in the workplace more than the owners did, because the owners tended to have managers who would come back and report to them, as opposed to really going out down and being involved in the day-to-day. So what would happen is someone would come in and they would basically be representatives of companies where they were coming in to do training. And that training meant that they were coming there to work on team building, they were coming in to work on communication, they were coming in to deal with stress. But what they would also have to help the owners understand, or the people who manage the company, is where were the conflicts between the bosses and the owners? What were the things that they saw as the problem? What were the issues that each person brought? Because first of all, any business succeeds because everyone works as a team. They all have goals in place on what they want to happen with the business. So you want to look at how you can use this, what's going on, to really get you to that next level. And what I want to do is quickly go through, and one of the things that I've taken is that I very much use and believe in the DISC. And what I want to do is show you how that you first need to understand and gain better knowledge of yourself as well as others. The ability to interact effectively with people may be the difference between success and failure in your work and personal life. Effective interaction starts with an accurate perception of oneself. And you also need to understand why your actions are the way they are. And this can tremendously impact your valuing of life. Once you know the motivations that drive your actions, you will immediately be able to understand the causes of conflict. And I think that's very much important because we need to understand that we're really a product of the home we come from. And lots of times we communicate in certain ways because that's how we learn to communicate in the home as a child. And especially the baby boomer generation, that was before anyone really understood how different behaviors affected different situations. And now, behavioral research suggests that the most effective people are those who understand themselves, both their strengths and weaknesses, so they can develop strategies to meet the demands of their environment. A person's behavior is a necessary and integral part of who they are. In other words, much of our behavior comes from nature, which means it's inherent, and much comes from nurture, our upbringing. It is the universal language of how we act or our observable human behavior. How you respond to problems and challenges, how you influence others to your point of view, how you respond to the pace of the environment, how you respond to rules and procedures set by others. And general characteristics means that, and I'm basing this on a report that I took so that you get an understanding of why it makes it easy for me to do what I do and always be someone that's out there to help someone else. For instance, I like public recognition and achievements. Now, part of that, I'm very lucky I'm in that natural behavioral style because when I was growing up as a child with a disability, it was still before there were laws in the books guaranteeing people with disabilities rights. Society would rather have hidden the disability community away and never really admitted that they really existed. And then I also grew up in a family where there was a lot of abuse. And I had, for that reason, I had very low self-esteem. And if I was not an outgoing personality, if I did not have that as part of my natural behavior, it would have been easy for me to have just been angry at the world and not take a step back and look at it and realize that I needed to be who I was in the environment I'm in and not let other people control me because it's easy. And I guess when you grow up in a home where there's no love at all and no one giving you any strokes and no one there to tell you you're doing a good job, then you have to learn to find it in other ways. That's why I try to tell people the home you come from really does affect who you are and where you are in that time and space. And you have to learn to open up and adapt and make changes because you want to be able to be the best at what you can possibly be at anything that you choose to do. Now, she is driven by status and power. She is good at creating enthusiasm in others. She prefers working for a participative manager. She does her best work herself on her intuition. She can be friendly with others in many situations, but primarily with groups of established friends and associates. She is sociable and enjoys the uniqueness of each human being. She is gregarious and sociable. She will be seen as a good mixer both on and off the job. She seeks popularity and social recognition. She likes to deal with people in a favorable social environment. Davina tries to influence others through a personal relationship and many times will perform services to develop this relationship. She places her focus on people. To her, strangers are just friends she hasn't met. Davina is a good giving is good at giving verbal and nonverbal feedback that serves to encourage people to be open, to trust her, to see her as receptive and helpful. She may leap to favorable conclusion without considering all the facts. She will not be overlooked nor uninvolved. She will consistently try to inspire people to her point of view. She likes working for managers who make quick decisions. Because of her trust and willingness and acceptance of people, she may misjudge the abilities of others. When she has strong feelings about a particular problem, you should expect to hear these feelings, and they will probably be expressed in an emotional manner. She is good at solving problems that deal with people. Remember, now, anyone who has an influencing or very high I behavior pattern, they're going to be very outgoing, and they're going to be looking on ways that they can help people. That's my natural behavioral style. And later on, I'm going to discuss how different behavioral styles interact with each other for simple reasons, because in the workplace, and this is something that business coaches have to be very aware of and have to be a way of helping a company get to the point where they can put themselves in a place where they are going to do the maximum they can do to really get the company to where it should be. And when you are, some of the things that you, a coach may need to ask the business owner who has the problems is that you want to get in front of the prospect. You need to develop small talk and dialogue because you need to build a relationship. And your prospect has a definition or idea that may not be your differentiation or in terms of what you're doing in coming in as a business coach. When you change the way you look at things, then things will change or shift. And this is the things that the owner needs to be aware of. This is what a coach will help you do. And you know, first of all, in your way of thinking, you know what you know, which is 15%. Things that we know we don't know is 15%. And things that we don't know that we don't know, which means that if there's something that you need to know but you don't know it and you don't know that you need it, that's 70%. Sometimes called blind spots. All access through this area comes through coaching. All breakthrough occurs in this domain of knowledge. A coach needs to help the person that they're working with have breakthroughs so that they can move forward. And what you're doing is you're bringing tools to them to really help them in this area. And you need to think about areas where you can help the individual and the business have breakthroughs so that they can learn to see things differently. Then you need to first start asking questions. And think about the questions that you would want to ask someone as a business coach. You want to help them understand at a deeper level. And so some of the things that you may want to ask the company is, what is the vision you have for your business? What would you want it to look like? Where are you now and where do you want it to be in the future? What is the mission for your business? That is, do you as a business have a mission statement? Does everyone that works for you know what that mission statement is? What value can you get out of me coaching you? What do you want? Who's to say there are limitations that you need to have? The sky's the limit. They lost the dream. Now, the title of this show is Live Without Limits. And the reason that I came up with that title was twofold. First of all, it was a slogan that was used by United Cerebral Palsy because, in essence, society has told people with physical disabilities, you're very limited in what you're capable of doing. And think about it. I have a mild form of cerebral palsy. That means it affects only my right side. So I don't have use of my right arm. I can use it slightly, and that's only because I've exercised my hand and I've gotten better range in motion in it, but it's still limited with the things that I do because the brain's not sending the right messages. When I walk, I tend to drag my foot, so I don't have a good gait when I walk. And there's other things, and it really affects as much how I learn, how the brain processes the information. So that's why when you think about why I've been able to succeed at the level I have is because I was very outgoing, and I looked at things in a way of how could I help someone else, because that was just that I wanted to see everyone succeed and reach the potential that they had the opportunity to. And if you grow up in a family, even if you don't have whether it's a physical disability or a mental disability or anything wrong with you that's very obvious, in a way, you can be handicapped because you believe you're less than perfect simply because of the things that you heard around you. And I study transactional analysis, and in that form, they talk about the parent, the adult, and the child. The child always comes from the point of, I want. And the parent always told you, you should. And then the adult is that part of you that says, I am able to. And if you are constantly being told by the adults in your life that you're less than perfect, that you'll never succeed, that you'll never have opportunities to be successful, and you hear it over and over again to the point that you have gotten to where you believe it, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to have to learn how to overcome that through affirmations. And one of the things a business coach does is they really help you understand all of these things and how to use them so that you can build on it. And think about what when a business coach is going in to a company, first thing they're going to want to know is how unreasonable would you be willing to be with yourself? Are you coachable? What don't you have that you want to have in your life? And a business coach helps you see the value in getting coaching. And one of the things that they will help you understand is, like, do they know how to hold employees accountable? Meaning, do you hold yourself accountable, and do you hold your employees accountable? And where is the problems? You know, where is an action planning, teamwork, which is critical to the growth of the company, leadership, accountability? And you kind of want to help people understand where are their shortfalls and how they can take it and move it from where they are now to the next level. And what I want to do is go back and discuss some things about how when you understand your natural behavior and your behavioral style and how you communicate with different people, how it can really help you build a good relationship with your employees, how it can help you avoid conflict in the workplace, and how you can get everyone on board in the workplace to help the business become successful. Now, DeVita is optimistic about her ability to influence people to her way of thinking. She has a tendency, which she regards as an ability, to talk smoothly, readily, and at length. She is both a good talker and a good listener. She is comfortable with most people and can be quite informal and relaxed with them. Even when dealing with strangers, DeVita will attempt to put them at ease. DeVita is good at negotiating conflict between others. DeVita feels that if everyone would talk it out, everything would be okay. And I guess that also goes back to coming from a family where each person had their view of things and didn't want to deal with how they were helping to create the conflict within the home. My mother always liked to see hostility around her. She created it around her. My father was very abusive. My younger sister, is she very much like my mother? My mother's now 91 years old, and my sister has literally taken okay, she usually uses many gestures when talking. She tends to influence people to her way of thinking by using verbiage as compared with others who like to use reports. Now, think about it. If you have someone like that and their personality is that behavioral style, what is their value to the organization? They help build confidence with others. They're self-reliant. They're people-oriented. They're team players. Their positive sense of humor, they're optimistic and enthusiastic, they're creative, problem solving, has the confidence to do the difficult assignments, can support or oppose strongly. And when think about it, what do you want to do, how do you want to do it, and how can you make it all work? And here's some communication tips. And what this does is help you understand how when you communicate, how important it is. When communicating with a person who is dependent, neat, conservative, perfectionist, careful, and compliant, and that's when someone with the I behavior pattern communicates with someone in the C behavior pattern, this is what you want to do. You want to prepare your case in advance. You want to stick to business. You want to be accurate and realistic. You factors that will create tension or dissatisfaction is if you're unaware of how your natural behavioral style influences someone else and you're coming out of your point of view and talking to them without understanding their natural behavioral styles, then guess what? It can create being giddy, casual, informal, and loud. It can be in a situation where you're pushing too hard or being unrealistic with deadlines. You're being disorganized or messy. When communicating with a person who is ambitious, forceful, decisive, strong-willed, independent, and goal-oriented, be clear, specific, brief, and to the point. Stick to business. Be prepared with supportive materials in a well-organized package. Factors that will create tension or dissatisfaction: talking about things that are not relevant to the issue, leaving loopholes or cloudy issues, appealing disorganized. When communicating with a person who is patient, predictable, reliable, steadiness, relaxed, and modest. Now, this is the steadiness behavior pattern, and they're very reserved. So when you're communicating with them, and you come out of one style, this is what you need to learn, how to adapt your style to these different ways of communicating. Begin with a personal comment. Break the ice. Present your case softly, non-threateningly. Ask how questions to draw their opinions. Because people in this behavior pattern want you to ask them for their opinion on how they would react in that given situation. And unless you are aware of this and how you can influence it, then guess what's going to happen? It's going to put you in a point of view of not being able to deal with it in a realistic way. That is why you have to learn to understand where you're coming from. When communicating with a person who is patient, predictable, reliable, steady, relaxed, and modest, begin with a personal comment to break the ice. Okay. When communicating with a person who is magnetic, enthusiastic, friendly, demonstrative, and political, provide a warm and friendly environment. Don't deal with a lot of details. Put them in writing. Ask feeling questions to draw their opinions and comments. Factors that will create tension or dissatisfaction, being curt, cold, and tight-lipped, controlling the conversation, driving on facts and figures and alternatives and abstractions. And one of the reasons that we're going through this is helping you understand that when you understand how you communicate and the way in which you communicate and how it affects relationships in the workplace, then guess what's going to happen? It's going to help you better deal with the different situations and how to avoid conflict and how to help the business get from being where they are to the level they are. And business owners among themselves have to be able to be aware of how they affect not only their co-workers or co-owners, but also the employees in the workplace by their expectations, because you have to learn to be realistic. Freedom from control and detail. Democratic supervisor with whom she can associate. Forum for her ideas to be heard. Needs difficult assignments. Assignments with a high degree of people contact. Work with a results-oriented team. If you have someone with a high I behavior, those are some of the things that you need to be aware of, the environment that they want to work in and how it can really help you in understanding where you're going. Now, let me talk about how you see yourself as others see you, because we all have a difficult time of understanding how it happens. And listen to this. Davina usually sees herself as being enthusiastic, charming, and persuasive, outgoing, inspiring, and optimistic. Now, other people will see her as under moderate pressure, tension, stress, or fatigue. Others may see her as being self-promoting, overly optimistic, glib, unrealistic, and under extreme pressure, stress, or fatigue. Others may see her as being overly confident, poor listener, talkative, self-promoter. And let me give you, now, if someone has a very high D behavior pattern, here are some of the words that will really resonate. And those are demanding, egocentric, driving, ambitious, pioneering, strong-willed, forceful, determined, aggressive, competitive, decisive, and venturesome. And these, now I'm going to give you some other words that would also go into those behavior patterns. And some of them are below, we're getting into some, those that are below the midline. And anyone who has these below the midline, that means that this is not a strong point for them. They're conservative, they're calculating, they're cooperative, they're hesitant, they're low-key, they're unsure, they're undemanding, they're cautious, they're mild, they're agreeable, modest, peaceful, and unobstructive. Now, if you're an influencing behavior pattern and you're above the midline, you would be effusive, inspiring, magnetic, political, enthusiastic, demonstrative, persuasive, warm, convincing, polished, poised, optimistic, trusting, and sociable. If you are below the midline, then you would be reflective, factual, calculating, skeptical, logical, undemonstrative, suspicious, matter-of-fact, incisive, pessimistic, and moody. When you have the steadiness behavior pattern and you're above the midline, these words would be decisive, phlegmatic, relaxed, resistant to change, non-demonstrative, passive, patient, possessive, predictable, consistent, deliberate, steady, stable. If you're below the midline, you would be mobile, active, restless, alert, variety-oriented, demonstrative, impatient, pressure-oriented, eager, flexible, impulsive, impetuous, and hypertensive. Someone with a compliant behavior pattern that is has a high C would be evasive, worrisome, careful, dependent, cautious, conventional, exacting, neat, systematic, diplomatic, accurate, tactful, open-minded, balanced judgment. They're below the midline. They would be firm, independent, self-willed, stubborn, obstinate, optimistic, opinionated, unsystematic, self-righteous, uninhibited, arbitrary, unbending, careless with details. And this is just important to understand, because when you understand what your natural behavioral styles is, where you come from, how you can adapt to them, then guess what? It helps you understand how you can get from where you are to where you want to be, and how you can take what you're doing, and whether in business or in your personal life, to the next level. And that is something that everyone needs to be aware of, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's in another avenue that you need to be in. And think about all of the things that you do on a daily basis and how you can take it to the level that you want to be, and how you can put it in perspective as far as where you are and where you want to be and how you want to take that business to the next level. Now, everyone has our natural behavior style, and we also have an adapted behavioral style, because that's how we have learned to adapt to our surroundings around us. And for instance, someone with a high I behavior pattern is someone who's participative, decision making, contacting people using a variety of modes, positive, outgoing, friendly behavior, quickly responding to crisis and change with a strong desire for immediate results, optimistic, future-oriented outlook, skillful use of vocabulary for persuasive situations, preferring people involvement over task focus, obtaining results through people, motivating people to take action by using persuasive skills, acting without precedent and able to respond to change in daily work, a good support team to handle paperwork, having the ability to see the big picture as well as the small pieces. And what would help you be a good manager? For instance, someone with a high I needs authority, which equals to responsibility, better organization and record keeping, documentation of expected results to mask emotions when appropriate, help on controlling time and setting priorities, to relax and pace yourself, bottom line measurement. And what we need to look at is how we can put together an action plan for each individual with different behavioral styles to help them get from where they are to where they should be, and how you can look at it. For instance, what is the behavioral hierarchy that displays a ranking of your natural behavioral style within a total of 8 areas commonly encountered in the workplace? Frequent interaction with others, customer-oriented, competitiveness, frequent change, versatility, urgency, organized workplace. What are some of the things that can really help you put things in perspective and get it to where you want to be? And you need to think about it as a wheel and a circle, and where's your high point, where's your low point, and how you can make the changes that need to be made. The Success Insights Wheel is a powerful tool popularized in Europe. In addition to the text you have received About your behavioral style, the wheel adds a visual representation that allows you to view your natural behavioral style, view your adaptive behavioral style, note the degree you are adapting your behavioral style. If you filled out the work environment analysis, view the relationship of your behavior on your job. And remember, think about it in terms of where do you want to be. And for instance, are you a promoter? Are you a persuader? Are you conductor? Are you an implementer? Are you an analyzer? Are you coordinator? Are you a supporter? Are you a relator? And for instance, someone who is adapted, it can be a persuading promoter, and it's their natural behavioral style can be a persuading promoter, and that means they're flexible. So think about the things about, okay, knowledge of an individual's values help to tell us why they do things. A review of an individual's experiences, references, education, and training help to tell us what they do. Behavioral assessments help to tell us how a person behaves and performs in the work environment. The motivation insights measures the relevant prominence of six basic interests of values, a way of valuing people, theoretical, utilitarian, economic, aesthetic, social, altruistic, individualistic, political, and traditional, regulatory. Value, theoretical, utilitarian, okay, and the drive is for knowledge, money, form and harmony, helpfulness, power, and order. Values help to initiate one's behavior and are sometimes called the hidden motivator because they are not always readily observed. It is the purpose of this report to help illuminate and amplify some of those motivating factors and to build on the strengths that each person brings to work, to the work environment. Based on your choices, this report ranks your relative passion for each of the six values. A knowledge of an individual's values helps to tell us why they do what they do. By measuring values, we uncover some of these motivators and can identify strengths that make each person unique within an organization. Values initiate or drive our behavioral style. Remember, just like these motivators influence how we relate to people in the workplace, they also influence how we relate in relationships in our home life. That's why not only do you have assessment profiles that you take that help you understand your coworkers and better communicate, but it also puts it in perspective so you can get to the point of really helping you deal with how you build a strong relationship. Because remember, if you're with someone who's very much like you, you may get along very well in the beginning, but eventually down the road, it can create conflicts. And a lot of that, also think about the home you come from and the way your parents related to each other, the way they related to you as their child, and the way they talk to you. All of this influences who you are as an adult, but that it's also what makes the family unit work together as a team. Because if any one of you change and you don't want to accept the negativity, then guess what? It's going to create conflict in the home, just like it creates conflict in the workplace. So you need to understand how to use all of these tools so that you can get the most out of them. And remember that what you want to do is look at them as a way of really helping you get what it is that you need in the workplace. And do you have a very strong drive to help others grow professionally? Are you very high sincerity factor in the tone of voice, in communicating with others? Are you freely giving of your time, talent, and energy to others, even without being asked? And remember, how someone would be valuable to the organization is they can be enthusiastic and willing to work and contribute to the team effort and have a very good memory for helping others. In, you know, you're coming out of your style in how you do this. And what I'm doing is describing a natural behavioral style for someone who has is very outgoing and has a very strong eye or influencing behavior pattern. So this person can be a very good team player, provides a very calming influence during stressful situations, has a desire to go beyond the required job description to help make things easier for others. They're proactive in helping the team progress, sees things that need to be done and gets them done. Keys to managing and motivating. And this is the thing that you need to understand is depending on your behavioral style, when you manage other people, you need to provide an environment in which there is an opportunity for everyone to achieve and grow professionally. Recognize that what each individual's natural behavioral styles are, and also help them really bring out those things. Because if you don't, then guess what? They're going to feel slighted in some way. So you need to also learn how to manage people based on their behavioral styles. And what are some of the things that you can do that can really help you manage a team? Can you realize that for those who score and in high economic range, there may be low company loyalty? Be certain to reward performance and encourage participation as an important member of the team. Realize that it's not just money that motivates, but also personal payback from the job. Assure that economic rewards are fair, clearly communicated, and provide a high-end return to those willing to work for it. Link training and meeting events to potential gains in business, share, or future income. Be certain in balancing professional and personal life. And these are things that you have to, because if one or the other is not working for you, then guess what is going to happen? It's going to influence what they're going to do in the workplace. It's also going to influence if there's problems at home, you bring it to work. If there's problems at work, you're going to take it home. So we need to really have a balance in our life. And having a business coach helps in the workplace, helps you get all of this in balance. Because remember, in hard times, you have to have something, not just a product that is the best product, but you have to be able to offer the best customer service that is there, the individualistic and political. The primary interest of this value is power. Research studies indicate that leaders in most fields have a high power value. Since competition and struggle play a large part in all areas of life, many philosophers have seen power as the most universal and most fundamental of motives. There are, however, certain personalities in whom the desire for direct expression of this motive is uppermost, who wish above all for personal power, influence, and renown. Individualistic and political. Now, theoretical. The primary drivers with this value are the discovery of knowledge and appetite for learning. In pursuit of the value, an individual takes a cognitive attitude. Such an individual is non-judgmental regarding the beauty or utility of objectives and seeks only to observe and to reason. Since the interests of the theoretical person are empirical, critical, and rational, the person appears to be an intellectual. The chief aim in life is to order and sympathize knowledge, systematize knowledge for the sake of knowledge. remember what we learn and how we learn it, that's a very good influence on how we relate to the people around us. Traditional and regulatory, the highest interest for this value may be called unity, order, or tradition. Individuals with high scores in this value seek a system for living. This system can be found in such things as conservatism or any authority that has defined rules, regulations, and principles for living. Some of these things, think about it. How do they relate to politics today? How do they relate to the things that you're hearing from politicians? So you need to be aware of and incorporate a lot of things and understand where each individual is coming through and how they interact with people. Aesthetic. A higher aesthetic score indicates a relative interest in form and harmony. Each experience is judged from the standpoint of grace, symmetry, or fitness. Life may be regarded as a procession of events, and each is enjoyed for its own sake. A high score here does not necessarily mean that the incumbent has talents in creative artistry. It indicates a primary interest in the artistic episodes of life. And how are you, where do you come from, and how do you use those? For years, you have heard statements like different strokes for different folks, to each his own, and people do things for their own reasons, not yours. When you are surrounded by people who share similar values, you will fit in with the group and be energized. However, when surrounded by people whose values are significantly different from yours, you may be perceived as out of the mainstream. If the differences are understood, each brings strength to the equation. If not understood, these differences can induce stress or conflict when confronted with this type of situation. You can change the situation, change your perception of the situation, leave the situation, cope with the situation. This section reveals areas where your values may be outside the mainstream and could lead to conflict. The further away you are from the mainstream in the high side, the more people will notice your passion about that value. The further away from the mainstream on the low side, the more people will view you as indifferent and possibly negative about that value. The shaded area for each value represents 68% of the population, or scores that fall within that standard deviation above and below the national mean. Areas in which you have a strong feeling and fashion and passion compared to others. You can be very strong desire to help eliminate pain and conflict in the world, even to the point of personally taking on the pain of others. You will tend to give freely to your time, talent, and resources, expecting little or nothing in return. Others may believe you are a doormat, always giving everything away to whoever walks in front the door, unwilling to look out for yourself or your family. You may believe you are weak and easily taken advantage of, and a bleeding heart. And I think what happens is when someone takes advantage of you, you know, you tend to learn how to kind of block things out so that you can gain better control over who you are and where you come from. Now, what I want to do is also talk about team building, because this is also a very important part of what makes a business successful. And a good business coach will take that into consideration when they're looking at helping the business get from where they are now to where they want to be and how to make it a team effort. Pick the most important item in each category from your report and the top areas indicated. Leave a line blank in each primary. And think about how you can take your team and how you understand what your natural behavioral styles are and how you could put all that together and get it to work so that it really gives you and takes you to the next level. And remember, one of the things that you need to be concerned about today is that how do you take the business that you're in and make it all work? And for instance, remember, today the term is business coach, but years ago, before it was business coach, it was as much talking about how did you take that you're coming in representing a product or a service, and you're marketing those products or services to the company, and how are you going to take it from where you are now to where you want to be in the future, and how are you going to put it in a perspective of how you're going to work with the business and get the business where it should be. And these are all things that a business coach has to be aware of and think about what they can do that can really help you. And if you have a company and you're considering hiring someone, then these are some of the things that you have to be considered of. Is how is that coach going to really help you understand and help your employees understand the need of the things that they want from each other? How to make it all work for you, how to get it from one level to the next level, and how to make it all be successful and get it to the point of where you want your business to be. And remember, what you need to do is today, you have to remember, today in today's marketplace, you've gone back to the small businessman. So how are you going to be unique? What is going to make you different from someone else? What is going to make your product different? Because you're selling your products and your services. A business coach helps you focus in on all of these things. He helps you understand where your business is today, what are the issues, because like we said, it's that you don't know what you don't know. Because if you don't know where the problems are, then you can't fix it. You can't make it all work together. And that's where the conflict is. So how are you going to take it and put it in a way that it's going to be a better perspective for you? And how are you going to look at it as a way that is really going to put your business to the next level? What I want to do now is I want to take a break, and I want to, we're getting down to the last few minutes, and I want to tell you that if you want to learn more about how you can use and improve your business, then you can go to my website, which is onepersonalcareercoach.com, and you can find out how we can come in and help you, and how we use assessment profiles to get you and help everyone be on the same page of where you are now and where you want to be in the future, and how to take that and make it all work for you. How are you going to get it all to be in a place where you can put it in perspective? And then I want to remind you to come back next week, because next week our topic is how to take and use how to improve sales. For instance, few people are born salesmen. It is something that you learn. For many people, they got to the point where they think that they can't sell and they don't want to learn how to sell. But that's something that you can take and go to the next level if you're willing to, and take it and put it in perspective. And then I want to remind you to come back next week, because the title of our show is Learning How to Close a Sale. And once you learn how to close a sale, then guess what? You're going to be successful.